This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Varsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. Very excited for you this show tonight. This is John Massengill. I'm in the studio in Austin, Texas. And I'm joined by my friend and cohort, Jonathan Green. He's up at Mid-Ohio in a hotel room. Mr. Green, how's it going, buddy?
I'm in my makeshift Ohio studio, shall we put it that way?
Yeah, that's what
very salubrious.
We'll edit out that first part that I just said. Oh, wait, we're live. We can't do that.
Get her done.
Your studio sounds pretty good, though, Jonathan. It's working, baby.
Well, that's good. Me and Logan Robinson, who's my producer, we spent several hours getting the lighting right and everything else. So,
well, hey, we got a fun show to talk about because Jonathan's up there in Mid Ohio. He's doing Trans Am and F3, the FR Americas and F4. So we're gonna hear all about that. We may have a guest or two, and also we're gonna talk lots of Formula One because I got lots of fun stories. Because I've been listening to Gunther's book. Yes, listening, not reading, listening to Gunther's book. And I'm on chapter 12 now. I'm almost done. And it is an awesome book. And I want to talk about that.
You are a fanboy.
I've become, well, anybody who listens, especially, I will admit, I do have to hit the back button a few times to get a word or two. But it's really, really good. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some Formula One stories. There's lots of good stuff we can talk about there. And we are going to start off tonight's show by talking IMSA because Le Mans is behind us and Watkins Glen was today. 6 hours of endurance racing and it was really fun. Jonathan, I know you didn't get to see it because you were on the air in Mid-Ohio, but I got to watch a good bit of the race today. And man, this thing came right out of the box with the entire field looking completely out of sorts. I mean, literally.
Really?
Yeah, first turn, there was a car spun, one of the prototypes spun, and he crashed and he limped out into the middle of the track. And the stewards didn't stop because, you know, the GT cars, they put a gap between them. So they were trailing. And all of a sudden, they come up full speed with a green flag waving right in front of the car of the prototype that's in the middle of the track.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they made it around it without any problems, but they did. And, I mean, the race, there was lots of crashes, error after error. There was a big, nasty one. The 38 LMP3 car caused a multi-crash. He took out two Lambos, I think both GTP and GTD Pro cars, and another prototype car. I don't know if it was an LMP1 or 2, and just wiped out that whole thing. And it was a mess. But they kind of calmed down, and our buddy George Kurtz won. As you know, he won at Le Mans. He won again today at Watkins Glen. That was cool for CrowdStrike. Let's see what else. Of course, the big win, of course, was Porsche Penske. They win it all in the GTP class and the hybrid class, which was very cool to see. And, I thought this was cool. The Lexus CEO, Watanabe was his name. And I remember him
talking. Watanabe,
that's it. Yeah. He was attending his first IMSA race, and the Lexus won in the GTD Pro class. So I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very cool. And, so it was good fun to watch, and it was 6 hours of craziness. Honestly, I wasn't sitting there focused on it, but it was, you know, tons of action going on. But it was fun to watch the Penske team win, and it was, you know, kind of lens of air of credibility when you got the captain up there in the tower watching over everything. So that was kind of cool.
So you do realize they have had talk about a month of May and June. They've won the Charlotte 600. They've won the Indy 500, and now IMSA.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, if that list had included Le Mans, that would have been an epic month, but not bad still. Let's see. What else? What else on the IMSA race? Those are the highlights of that for sure. And if anybody's got anything on YouTube, just give me a shout, because I didn't watch it super close. I was keeping a close eye on the Corvette. I think they ended up third. Let me see if I got scoring still up, because, after Le Mans, after their win at Le Mans, it was pretty cool. Yeah, let's see. In GTD Pro, it was the Lexus, of course, I talked about, and then the Ferrari, the 62, but then the Corvette came in third in GTD Pro. So that was Antonio Garcia and gang in the Corvette. But that was it, Jonathan. It was very cool. 6 hours of fun watching Watkins Glen and the historic track that it is. You've been there, right?
Oh, many times. Yeah. In fact, we're going there with Trans Am in September. So yeah, looking forward to that. And you're right, it's a cracking circuit to go to. And those guys in Watkins Glen, we do a parade around the streets of the old circuit, because they used to race before that circuit was built. They actually used to race, a bit like the Isle of Man TT, they used to race around the streets of the village of Watkins Glen. So we always go there and have a big celebration, and people like Brian Redman and whatever, some of the greats come and masters of ceremonies and grand marshals. And so, yeah, it's a big event for us, and the fans come out in their droves to see Watkins Glen.
It's such a historic looking track too, you know, just the layout and the fact that it's not, you know, in the middle of a big crazy city, and it looks classic, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the Glen was home for Formula One for longer than anywhere else in the States as well. So it's also got a huge history of Formula One.
I know. I was sitting there looking at it going, you know, I wasn't watching Formula One back then, and I was thinking that would have been really cool to watch Formula One there. I'm sure I could go YouTube some F1 races there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good. It was fun, and it was good to see the Porsche team win that one. So, and our friend Kurtz and gang, my son's team didn't do too well. They had a drive-through penalty. So the only McLaren in the entire 59 car field, they didn't do well. They ended up, I think, 15th in the GTT class, so he won't be
happy. So he's back on the lawns tomorrow then.
Yeah, they were good, man. They were the Optimum team. They were second in the championship coming into today, but the boss, the gentleman driver, just went in too deep trying to pass a Lamborghini and spun him off track, and they made him do a drive-through, and that really killed him, dropped him down. They were They were like a high of fifth, and they ended up like 14th, I think. But yeah, hey, you know what? We have, Jonathan, Mid-Ohio was fun, and you have one of our best buddies on the line. Why don't you set it up for us?
Yeah, we've been at Mid-Ohio all weekend. We had rain to start the weekend off, and in fact, that affected practice and qualifying. We started in championship positions. The championship is being led by Callum Hedge at the moment from New Zealand. But it's our own Austin, Texas's Ryan Sheehan who's chasing him down hard. And I have to say, Ryan's on the line because I really wanted him to come and discuss this. If nothing else, I'm just interested to see his perspective because I commentated on the race. And it was nose to tail for two entire races today. One where Ryan started behind Callum Hedge and another where he started pole. But boy, did he... I mean, the pair of them, their teammates, remember,
yeah,
went wheel to wheel. And there was a third guy involved in Cooper Becklin, another teammate. So it was a 1-2-3 for Crosslink. But that really doesn't give any justice to the story because it was some of the best racing I've seen in FR. Small field. But boy, they can really give them, you know, some credit. Really, really cool.
Well, we got Ryan Sheehan on the phone. Let's bring him on. Mr. Sheehan, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Jonathan was telling us all about your weekend, and I was reading about it on the IMSA website. And the before we went on the air, I said to Jonathan, I said, you know what? I know that Callum Edge has got this lead in this championship, but you're still second. And the stats that jumped out at me was that you've been on podium every single race, all eight races. But even more importantly is that you're cutting the pace to Callum Edge, is that you guys are literally – 0.2, and the rest of the field is a half a second behind you. So, man, good on you, Ryan. You're definitely right in this championship.
Yeah, thank you. Callum had a pretty, and well, he had obviously an amazing Road America round a month ago, and so I came into this really wanting to break that gap down, and you know, actually see him at the finish line. And that's, I mean, that's what we did. I think it was like a 0.2 difference, at the line in race two. And so definitely made a lot of progress. And now I think the championship fight is really on.
Yeah. Well, you guys halfway through, right? You're exactly halfway, eight races left.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
And including here in Austin coming up in late or early November, right?
Yeah, that's always something I get to look forward to is having a home race. Yeah, I think that's the first weekend in November.
Jonathan, what do you think? Should Ryan start learning Japanese?
I'd love to have him do that because he's certainly in the hunt to do it. He's just gotta find a battle plan somehow to beat this laid back Kiwi because he really now he's got to grips with the car. You know, it really is, like you say, that there's nothing between them. In fact, Ryan was quicker and therefore got the pole. And I actually made fun of Callum before the start of the race. And I said, well, what were you doing going sideways? And he goes, oh, I was having too much fun. And it cost me the fastest lap. So, Ryan's got the better of him in certain ways. And it's now just a case of, you know, it could come to a mechanical or it could come to, you know, to out and out Ryan just getting the better on a particular race weekend or whatever that's going to decide this championship. And it may well come down, and Ryan will hate me for saying this, it may come down to the race circuit that he went to as a little fella of 8 years old and fell in love with the sport. But he'll take it if it comes to that.
Yeah, I'll take it any way I can get it. Even if it goes down to the last race, as I would come out on top, then I'd be happy.
Well, what I was talking about learning Japanese, of course, was that whoever wins this championship gets an automatic entry into the Super Formula in Japan. I mean, which, as we all know, that's the next notch down from F1. Sorry, IndyCar fans, but just on pure car and hardware and everything else, I think that's the next step down. And, you know, Ryan, that would be a game changer. That would be a career changer, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that really puts you on the radar for some pretty big teams, really major eyes I mean, Liam Lawson is there right now, the one of the Red Bull Golden Children. So that's a great opportunity if I can take home that scholarship.
Well, Jonathan, what else for Ryan and the boys out there? By the way, if we haven't said it, it's FR Americas, basically the Formula Regional, Formula 3 is what Ryan's racing in. So, yeah, man, Ryan, you're right there, buddy. But, Jonathan, what else?
Yeah, well, one thing I'd like Ryan to talk about is the way he goes about his racing is not unique, but it's pretty unique in this day and age. In other words, if you look at Callum Hedge, his opponent's car, he's got the backing of the Giltrack group, which have basically backed the likes of Scott McLaughlin, Scott Dixon, and many, many other New Zealand drivers. New Zealand is a tiny country, and yet they get behind their drivers. They have an elite academy, which they put them through. They help fund them. Callum has been really successful. He was the youngest Formula 4 driver, winner champion of the championship. He won the 86 championship, the Tin Tops. And he's currently racing in Australia as well as racing here in the States. So great for him. And he's racing for Earl Bamber, another great IMSA driver and world champion in WEC. Ryan, though, has a different approach. He has managed to get the Austin business community involved. And he's basically doing it through his own business. And I think that I just want Ryan to talk about that because I know a lot of racing drivers tune in and I know a lot of people are interested to see how the heck you raise the kind of money you need to do the racing he does. And Ryan, if you can, just talk a little bit about the success you've had in the last 2 years
Ryan,
of bringing that all together.
Hold on. Through the break, we're going to make everybody a cliffhanger because this is a really amazing, it's a really amazing story to do it this way. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, back after a quick break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, VBox, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right. Before we get back with Ryan Sheen, I just want to talk about something. We're going to talk Formula One here in a minute because, Jonathan, hope you're sitting down. I've built a spreadsheet. I've built another spreadsheet.
Yes. It's not like you, John.
Nerd alert.
I have built a spreadsheet, and we're going to talk about that. It's a Formula One spreadsheet, and we're going to talk about some Formula One stories, including Daniel Ricciardo and a couple of ones that you put into, Jonathan. But before we went to break, Ryan Sheehan was going to tell us about his unique approach to funding his race career. Ryan, why don't you tell us how you're doing this, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to focus a lot on the Austin area, Austin-based businesses. Just because we feel like there are the businesses here that can support, kind of a homegrown hero. And obviously with Coda there, it's kind of the perfect breeding ground for, a racing driver. That was how I, found my love for racing. And so, and we also feel like Austin, the people, have fallen in love with racing, with Coda, and especially with Drive to Survive. I think more people than ever that I talk to in the Austin area are really, interested in racing and especially Formula One. But that's pretty much how we've done it, is reaching out to, C-level executives at Austin-based companies. I mean, it's really just a simple phone call or an email, and that's how I've reached out to these people, and it's been successful so far. So that's really all it takes, is just having the courage to pick up the phone or write out an email.
It's such a simple tactic too. I mean, it reminds me of like door-to-door sales. I mean, you just have to have the courage, and it's not that big a deal. Once you've done it a few times, Ryan, it gets easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the worst thing that they can say is, sorry, we're not interested. That's the worst I've ever gotten. And so, I've kind of gotten over the fear of, maybe their secretary is going to insult me or something like that, which has never happened. So it's not really a big deal anymore.
We'll talk about some of the sponsors. I know Keller Williams, which is a huge, maybe the biggest residential real estate company in the United States. They're based here.
Yeah, I'm sponsored by a branch here in Austin, the Harrison Noel team. Keller Williams is the largest real estate firm in the world. I think they're in 80 countries, something like that,
wow.
And 180,000 agents around the world. And so what that's allowed us to do is to host events at the different tracks we go to. So even though I'm partnered with a firm here in Austin, I was able to host an event at Road America for a firm, and I think in the Green Bay area. So it's really given us that network of agents we can reach out to and work with.
Yeah, well, it's a really cool way to do it, and because it's unique, and I bet you will start to see other people doing it. And have you heard any rumblings, Ryan, of anybody else going, hey, how'd you do that?
No, not quite yet. We might have to wait a little bit longer and do a few more events before people really start to catch on and maybe start to copy it a bit.
You know what I like about it, Ryan, is you feel connected to your racing. And my point is, you know, when we get an email from you, and okay, we're on your mailing list, of course, we're a motor racing media outlet, but it's from you. It says, hey guys, this is what I got up to. You also do, you know, some symposiums where you get people involved and get people talking about it and talking about the business of racing. And I think that's important too. And so, you know, you really do get the feeling that you're connected to you, not just a concept or a sticker on a car. And so, you know, you are, it's that hearts and minds thing. You're getting people person by person to follow you.
Yeah, that's something that we've definitely learned over the years, trying to build the business, is that, you know, Ryan Sheehan Racing isn't just a name. It's me. I am the Ryan Sheehan of Ryan Sheehan Racing, and it's not going to get very far if I'm not, you know, at the forefront of that. And it's, you know, some, you know, random person that's representing me. People aren't going to be very interested. They want to, you know, speak directly to the racing driver. And if they don't get to do that, then they'll just leave and find someone else.
Well, Ryan, I was thinking about all this, you know, the success you've had with business, but backing it up with the success you're having now in F3 and the Formula Regionals, I imagine that the sponsors now are going, wow, we got in on the ground floor of this, and this kid is potentially going to win this championship. Well, in fact, I was going to look. You were 4 points off going into the weekend. I don't think they've updated the standings. Do you know where you are now?
Yeah.
No, I'm not quite. I'm pretty sure I'm still in second.
Yeah, for sure.
I think of any way I wouldn't be, but yeah. I'm not sure what the gap is now. We might have to wait a few days for them to update the point standings.
They did it. They just updated. I just looked. They did it since we've been on the air. So, Callum Hedges is 198. You're at 173, and then way back at 123 is Cooper Beckland. So, you guys are clearly. It's funny. Your totals match your pace right now. It's like I was saying earlier. You guys are so much faster than the rest of the field right now, at least this past weekend. But, well, Ryan, we've got to wrap it up because we got to go to break. We got another guest that's going to come on, but I want to congratulate you for another fantastic weekend, man. It was incredible that you know, are doing what you're doing, and 7 podium or 8 in a row every single race this season. It's amazing.
Thank you so much, and thank you guys for having me.
All right, Ryan.
Great job, Ron. Keep it up.
We'll talk to you. We'll see you around town.
Thank you. See ya.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we have a Le Mans winner on the line because Ben Keating is on hold. So we'll be right back right after these messages. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstop Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstad beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City. John Massengill, Jonathan Green, and we just interviewed one of the youngest Texans from Austin. But we're now about to move up the scale a little bit, talk to a veteran Texas race driver, Mr. Ben Keating, fresh off a podium at Watkins Glen. Mr. Keating, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I thought you were going to say one of the youngest racers to one of the oldest.
Well, if the shoe fits, Ben. No, I'm just kidding.
I wear it proudly.
Well, hey, congratulations. I haven't gotten to talk to you since Le Mans. I want to congratulate you for that. I know we exchanged an email or two because I couldn't help it. I had to congratulate you, but congratulations on your podium to follow that up.
Yeah, thank you. The Le Mans deal was really, really special. The 100th anniversary of Le Mans, it was the 25th anniversary of Corvette racing. It was the last year of GTE, that spec of GT car. And, it was a strange race. There were 21 cars that started the race in the GT class, and only 9 cars finished. We had a problem early on in the race when we had to replace our right front shock, right front damper, and
we went
down 2 laps. We got 1 lap back under safety car, and the other lap we got back because we stayed clean, and literally everybody else in the race had a problem. We had good pace, but we never expected to be at the front, in the end. Just to stand on the top step in France with 300,000 people watching, to hear the Star Spangled Banner stand under the American flag was just awesome.
I saw some of that. I saw some of the photo. In fact, I saw on your Twitter you got a little grief for doing a video up there, but everybody came to your defense. I think all the drivers did. It was like, oh my gosh, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You gotta whip out the cell phone and take a video.
Yeah, we even had some veterans who were like, it was okay just this once.
That's great.
But it was really, really nice. I'm still kind of on cloud 9, so to speak. It's really special for me to be back into racing something I sell. I heard you talking to Ryan about, combining business and racing, and that's exactly, I pay for all this racing stuff by selling cars, and so I'm glad to be back in something I sell. So
yeah,
it was special for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks. Ben, I got to ask you, obviously you've heard the news, WEC coming back to Austin. Please tell me you're going to be in the race. And my second part is, if you're not, please tell me you're going to join us in the booth.
Hey, maybe I'll come join you in the booth. I suspect that I will be there because I want to say hello to all my old friends. I've been in the World Endurance Championship for 4 years now and really enjoyed it. Have a lot of great relationships there. I do hope to go back to Le Mans next year in an LMP2, but I will not be doing a full season of the World Endurance Championship next year. I'm excited about ending the GTE era with a second in a row win at Le Mans and a second in a row world championship.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and like Jonathan said, we are looking forward to WEC coming back here because that was always one of my favorite events here in Austin. It was sad when it went away, and they teased us. They came back in 2020, but hey, Ben, let's talk about Watkins Glen, man. That's a fantastic podium today.
Yeah, it turned out really well. You know, we qualified in the rain yesterday, and I was the first person on the scene when the whole hillside drained across the track, and I was the second person on the scene, but the first three people that were there spun into the wall, hydroplaned. I don't know how deep the water was, but all three of us were on rain tires and trying to tiptoe across it, and it didn't do any good. So my team had to rebuild the car overnight, get it ready to go for the race today. Yeah, I had a really good start. I started second place because we went off of championship points instead of qualifying. I had a really good start. I got a good lead at the beginning of the race. And the driver that was in second place, you know, hit me going into the final turn, got me spun around. And I guess I would say I'm grateful that he hit me twice. He spun me around, and then he hit me again to straighten me up. So I didn't lose too much there, but it's so hard to pass in our class around Watkins Glen because you're so dependent on the aero of the car. You get behind somebody, it's really hard to follow another car. You know, we had great pace, but we, you know, just the everything didn't fall our way to win. You know, we finished in third place, which we were happy. You know, we made progress in the championship. We're closer to the lead in the championship. But we made progress kind of across all three of the different point standings that we're fighting for, all the different awards we're fighting for. But we were disappointed with the yellow flag at the very end because we think if it had to end under green flag, the 04 car that won the race would have run out of fuel. That would have been fun to watch. But, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I saw Bill Oberlin with the cause of that yellow flag. They didn't have a good video of it. They just caught it. By the time the cameras caught it, he was upside down. And he looked a little shaken up when he was standing there when he got out of the car. He looked okay,
I thought he looked pretty good for how big of a hit that looked like it was. I saw the same thing. That looked like a pretty wild ride. You know, to be hit the wall hard enough to go up on your roof and then to flip over again back on your tires. It's hard to know how much of an impact there really was, as I look at my in qualifying, when I hydroplaned into another LMP3 car that had climbed before me, I thought, you know, I thought it wouldn't be that hard of a hit, but I can tell you it was. So, you know, I'm feeling a little bit of what Bill might be feeling.
Well, honestly, when I first saw it, I was a little worried. I was like, oh, man, because, you know, Bill's not a spring chicken either. I think he's in his mid-50s. But he looked okay, honestly. He looked fine. But, man, that was a crazy-looking crash. In fact, I was talking about at the top of the show, Ben, is that it kind of looked like everybody was out of sorts, including the stewards at the beginning of that race, when one of the prototype cars spun and was right in the middle of the track, and the GT cars were still starting the race right at the green flag, and they had to blast right past. I mean, that looked a little, that looked like that they should have yellow flagged that from the beginning. What did you think?
I agree with you. I think that, you know, it has its good moments and its bad moments, but, you know, Bo Barfield is the race director for IMSA. Bo does a pretty good job. He wants to avoid all yellow flags when he can. If he thinks somebody might be able to drive away, then he's not going to stop the rig. In that case, I agree with you. I think the problem was that he started to drive away when they went under the green flag, and so he thought AP was going to get going and wouldn't be a problem. But there's not really another flag until you get around to where Marcus was sitting in BMW. Now, there was a yellow flag. You're not looking at the flags. And so it was a hairy moment for sure. I can appreciate Bo not wanting to have that be safety cars.
Yeah, and he turned out to be right because nobody had any problems with him right there. But yeah, it was a little scary. And, you know, there was a lot of people spinning, cars banging into each other. I mean, it settled down, but it just looked like the whole field was a little bit out of sorts at the beginning there.
Yeah, really, it was mayhem. And I love racing at Watkins Glen, but there is no runoff. You know, as compared to COTA, as an example, there's so much runoff at COTA. You know, it's very safe and you don't have any risk for very little. Whereas at Watkins Glen, walls are right up next to the track. There is no runoff. You know, if you get pushed wide, then there's going to be a wreck. And that's kind of what it has there. You know, you get side by side with the different five different classes. You get pushed wide somewhere, you make a little mistake, and next thing you know, you're right in the wall.
Hey, I got to tell everybody, I think your cell phone it's not cutting out completely, but it's got some funny sounds. I think it's because you're at about 35,000 feet. Is that right?
That's true. An airplane using the Wi-Fi to call you.
That's great. In fact, when I emailed you, I thought, he's not going to be able to call in. He's going to be traveling back. But, Ben Keating, we're going to let you go, buddy. We really appreciate you calling in, and I'm so happy for you. These last two races have just got to be really special to you, and I'm feel privileged that you call in and share these moments with us. I really appreciate it.
I love calling in. I love that you guys invite me to come be on the show. I'm happy to talk about racing anytime.
Ben Keating, thank you very much, Ben, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to our last break, and we'll have a nice big segment to talk some Formula One and some other things. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, back after these messages.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. At the beginning of the show, I said I have a spreadsheet that I've made, and you guys know how I love to make a good spreadsheet. And what sparked it was I saw an article on the AP Newswire, and it said ESPN's hopes for more parody and drama in F1 season appear to be evaporating. And I was like, what? Let me read this. And so I started reading it, and it's the same story we've heard a lot of, is that how can Formula One continue this insane growth, right? We had like 35% growth from 21 to 22 and like 25% the year before. I mean, it's just insane. So I was reading this article and one of the comments was, in fact, there's actually two articles. The one that sparked this conversation was F1's predictable races risk turning off new American fan base, you know, all from Drive to Survive. And about the fifth paragraph in, it says, but here's F1's dirty little secret. The racing has never been great, and 2021 was an anomaly of a season. Let me read that again. The racing has never been great. I was like, hang on a minute. Did you watch the Spanish Grand Prix? Did you, you know, just... Did you watch the Canadian Grand Prix? I mean, I thought that was an absurd thing to say. And the author is mostly NASCAR and IndyCar, but I really like her work. And in fact, it really caught me off guard that she would say this. And I was like,
this holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to your Sunday night with Speed City. John Massengill, Jonathan Green, and we just interviewed one of the youngest Texans from Austin. But we're now about to move up the scale a little bit, talk to a veteran Texas race driver, Mr. Ben Keating, fresh off a podium at Watkins Glen. Mr. Keating, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I thought you were going to say one of the youngest racers to one of the oldest.
Well, if the shoe fits, Ben. No, I'm just kidding.
I wear it proudly.
Well, hey, congratulations. I haven't gotten to talk to you since Le Mans. I want to congratulate you for that. I know we exchanged an email or two because I couldn't help it. I had to congratulate you, but congratulations on your podium to follow that up.
Yeah, thank you. This the Le Mans deal was really, really special. The 100th anniversary of Le Mans, it was the 25th anniversary of Corvette racing. It was the last year of GTE, that spec of GT car. And, it was a strange race. There were 21 cars that started the race in the GT class, and only 9 cars finished. We had a problem early on in the race. We had to replace our right front shock, right front damper, and
we went
down 2 laps. We got 1 lap back under safety car, and the other lap we got back because we stayed clean, and literally everybody else in the race had a problem. We had good pace, but we never expected to be at the front, in the end. Just to stand on the top step in France with 300,000 people watching, to hear the Star Spangled Banner, stand under the American flag was just awesome.
I saw some of that. I saw some of the photo. In fact, I saw on your Twitter, you got a little grief for doing a video up there, but everybody came to your defense. I think all the drivers did. It was like, oh my gosh, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You gotta whip out the cell phone and take a video.
Yeah, we even had some veterans who were like, it was okay just this once.
That's great.
But it was really, really nice. I'm still kind of on cloud 9, so to speak. It's really special for me to be back into racing something I sell. I heard you talking to Ryan about, combining business and racing. And that's exactly, I pay for all this racing stuff by selling cars. And so I'm glad to be back in, something I sell. So,
yeah,
it was special for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks. Ben, I got to ask you, obviously, you've heard the news. WEC coming back to Austin. Please tell me you're going to be in the race. And my second part is, if you're not, please tell me you're going to join us in the booth.
Hey, maybe I'll come join you in the booth. I suspect that I will be there because I want to say hello to all my old friends. I've been in the World Endurance Championship for 4 years now and really enjoyed it. Have a lot of great relationships there. I do hope to go back to Le Mans next year in an LMP2, but I will not be doing a full season of the World Endurance Championship next year. I'm excited about ending the GTE era with a second in a row win at Le Mans and a second in a row World Championship.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and like Jonathan said, we are looking forward to WEC coming back here because that was always one of my favorite events here in Austin. It was sad when it went away, and they teased us. They came back in 2020, but hey, Ben, let's talk about Watkins Glen, man. That's a fantastic podium today.
Yeah, it turned out really well. We qualified in the rain yesterday, and I was the first person on the scene when the whole hillside drained across the track, and I was the second person on the scene, but the first 3 people that were there spun into the wall, hydroplaned. I don't know how deep the water was, but all 3 of us were on rain tires and trying to tiptoe across it, and it didn't do any good. So my team had to rebuild the car overnight, get it ready to go for the race today. Yeah, I had a really good start. I started second place because we went off of championship points instead of qualifying. I had a really good start. I got a good lead at the beginning of the race. And the driver that was in second place, hit me going into the final turn, got me spun around. And I guess I would say I'm grateful that he hit me twice. He
he spun me around, and then he hit me again to straighten me up. So I didn't lose too much there, but it's so hard to pass in our class around Watkins Glen because you're so dependent on the arrow of the car. You get behind somebody, it's really hard to follow another car. We had great pace, but we, you know, just that everything didn't fall our way to win. We finished in third place, which we were happy. You know, we made progress in the championship. We're closer to the lead in the championship, but we made progress kind of across all three of the different point standings that we're fighting for, all the different awards we're fighting for. But we were disappointed with the yellow flag at the very end because we think if it had to end under green flag, the 04 car that won the race would have run out of fuel. That would have been fun to watch. But, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I saw Bill Oberlin with the cause of that yellow flag. They didn't have a good video of it. They just caught it. By the time the cameras caught it, he was upside down. And he looked a little shaken up when he was standing there when he got out of the car. He looked okay, well, but yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good for how big of a hit that looked like it was. I saw the same thing did. That looked like a pretty wild ride, you know, to be hit the wall hard enough to go up on your roof and then to, flip over again back on your tires. It's hard to know how much of an impact there really was. As I look at my in qualifying, when I hydroplaned into another LMP3 car that had climbed before me, I thought, I thought it wouldn't be that hard of a hit, but I can tell you it was. So, I'm feeling a little bit of what Bill might be feeling.
Well, I honestly, when I first saw it, I was a little worried. I was like, oh, man, because, you know, Bill's not a spring chicken either. I think he's in his mid-50s. He looked okay, honestly. He looked fun. But, man, that was a crazy-looking crash. In fact, I was talking about at the top of the show, Ben, is that it kind of looked like everybody was out of sorts, including the stewards at the beginning of that race, when one of the prototype cars spun and was right in the middle of the track, and the GT cars were still starting the race right at the green flag, and they had to blast right past. I mean, that looked a little, that looked like that they should have yellow flagged that from the beginning. What did you think?
I agree with you. I think that, it has its good moments and its bad moments, but, Bo Barfield is the race director for IMSA. Bo does a pretty good job. He wants to avoid all yellow flags when he can. If he thinks somebody might be able to drive away, then he's not gonna stop the race. In that case, I agree with you. I think the problem was that he started to drive away when they went under the green flag, and so he thought he was going to get going and wouldn't be a problem. But there's not really another flag until you get around to where Marcus was sitting in BMW. Now, there was a yellow flag. You're not looking at the flags. And so it was a hairy moment for sure. I can appreciate Bo not wanting to have that many safety cars.
Yeah, and he turned out to be right because nobody had any problems with him right there. But it was a little scary. And, there was a lot of people spinning, cars banging into each other. I mean, it settled down, but it just looked like the whole field was a little bit out of sorts at the beginning there.
Yeah, really, it was mayhem. And I love racing at Watkins Glen, but there is no runoff. As compared to COTA, as an example, there's so much runoff at COTA. It's very safe and you don't have any risk for very little. Whereas it comes to the land, walls are right up next to the track.
and there is no runoff. You know, if you get pushed wide, then there's going to be a wreck. And that's kind of what happens there. You know, you get side by side with the different five different plus. You get pushed wide somewhere, you make a little mistake, and the next thing you know, you're right in the wall.
Hey, I got to tell everybody, I think your cell phone it's not cutting out completely, but it's got a little, some funny sounds. I think it's because you're at about 35,000 feet. Is that right?
That's true. An airplane using the Wi-Fi to call you.
That's great. In fact, when I emailed you, I thought, he's not going to be able to call and he's going to be traveling back. But, Ben Keating, we're going to let you go, buddy. We really appreciate you calling in, and I'm so happy for you. These last two races have just got to be really special to you, and I'm feel privileged that you call in and share these moments with us. I really appreciate it.
I love calling in. I love that you guys invite me to come be on the show. I'm happy to talk about racing anytime.
Well, Ben Keating, thank you very much, Ben, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, well, let's go ahead and go to our last break, and we'll have a nice big segment to talk some Formula One and some other things. You're listening to Sunday Night with Speed City, back after these messages.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. At the beginning of the show, I said I have a spreadsheet that I've made, and you guys know how I love to make a good spreadsheet. And what sparked it was I saw an article on the AP Newswire, and it said ESPN's hopes for more parody and drama in F1 season appear to be evaporating. And I was like, what? Let me read this. And so I started reading it, and it's the same story we've heard a lot of, is that how can Formula One continue this insane growth, right? We had like 35% growth from 21 to 22 and like 25% the year before. I mean, it's just insane. So I was reading this article, and one of the comments was, in fact, there's actually two articles. The one that sparked this conversation was F1's predictable races risk turning off new American fan base. You know, all from Drive to Survive. And about the fifth paragraph in, it says, but here's F1's dirty little secret. The racing has never been great, and 2021 was an anomaly of a season. Let me read that again. The racing has never been great. I was like, hang on a minute. Did you watch the Spanish Grand Prix? Did you, you know, just, did you watch the Canadian Grand Prix? I mean, I thought that was an absurd thing to say. And the author is mostly NASCAR and IndyCar, but I really like her work. And in fact, it really caught me off guard that she would say this. And I was like, I was like, my first thought was, do you watch F1? Now, if your criteria is who's going to win the race every weekend, yes, IndyCar blows F1 out of the water, but we as F1 fans know that's not going to happen in our sport, right? It's not going to be that way because of the way the sport's laid out. But what's your take on that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I don't know the reporter you're talking about, but I agree that when you watch NASCAR and IndyCar, you get a lot more crashes, a lot more overtakes. I'll give you that. But Formula One has never been about that. And the purists who love racing and watching Formula One may as well be space fans or NASA fans, because it really is launching a rocket against 20 other rockets and seeing how the development and how the technology beats the other technology. And that can at times be dominated by one particular car, and that's often the way in Formula One, or two in the same team is often the case. But that is the space race, the technology race that is Formula One. So, you know, it's not for everybody. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But for the purists who love technology and love to see people, you know, take the most and get the most out of a tiny machine and pack more power than is even thinkable into a tiny space and race it. Incredible racing.
Well, and let's just, you know, think back. I was talking about the Spanish Grand Prix, and we knew Max was going to win, right? But there was so much good racing, and I guess you do have to get into the sport and learn the nuance of all this to really enjoy it. But there was still plenty of racing that I think, you know, even your new Drive to Survive fan could enjoy. And I just thought it was honestly, I thought it was an absurd comment because.
And by the way, you know, the other side of that, forget that comment. The other side is, you know, that Formula One's dirty little secret, or the growth of Drive to Survive, can't keep going. No, it can't. Of course it can't. I mean, you know, we're the new kids in town in terms of interest, and Drive to Survive has driven that. And so it's shows like ours and many more. And as you see, podcasts are popping up all over the country. And that's good. But the fan base now is reignited from the original fans that used to go to the Glen and so on, and a whole bunch of new fans. And that's really what's important, yeah, is that fan base won't go away. And there will be seasons where Max Verstappen will not dominate. And I'm looking forward, for example, to 2026, when Andretti could be on the grid, when Audi will be on the grid, when Ford will be on the grid, and Cadillac potentially. In terms of name, and yeah, you know, and also a bunch of new drivers from all over the world, including many, many Americans as well. So I think the next 4 years exponentially could grow Formula One, and with events like Vegas and Miami, a huge success as we saw, roll on. I'm afraid I don't agree at all.
All right. Well, what that sparked me to think was, all right, well, let's just think about. I watch the ratings on ESPN. I watch them every Tuesday when they come out. And I thought, and just seat of the pants, I was like, it's about the same as last year. But ladies and gentlemen, nice spreadsheet. If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to introduce the spreadsheet now.
No, don't do it.
Okay. I've got 2023 ratings, or viewers, actually, not the rating points, and 2022 viewers up side by side. And you might notice right off the bat, I've highlighted whichever year was higher in green, and it literally alternates. Bahrain last year was bigger. Saudi Arabia this year was bigger. Last year, Australia was bigger. This year, Azerbaijan was bigger. And it goes back and forth like that 100%. But the bottom line is that it is the total viewers so far this year, 10,897,000, as opposed to last year, 10,970,000. So it's virtually identical. It's less than 1% difference last year over this year. And we have not had Vegas. So I want you to think about that. Now, I know Vegas is kind of a late night race, but, you know, last year, Miami was 2.6 million viewers, right? This year, it dropped to basically 2 million, 1.96. So that was a big drop. And in fact, you know, if you kind of throw that out, then we'd probably be ahead of last year, just that spike, because it's a first-year race. But we've still got Vegas this year, so I would expect by the end of the year, we'll have a bigger year than last year again. And you made a really fantastic point, Jonathan. There's so much more to come. There's, you know, Ford and Cadillac and Audi and, you know, all this American interest. And, you know, and we're also building that American driver pipeline kids like Ryan Sheehan. But as that grows too, there's going to be more and more interest. I just think that it's, you know, it is going to be tough if Max Verstappen wins every single race this year, though. That won't help the situation.
No, it won't. But, you know, there have been other seasons in the past that have been like that. And, you know, one of the other things that we're talking about, this cost cap that has come in and how to deal with it. We saw Red Bull get fined at the end of last season. And there's a kind of a new game in town, which is, you know, beating the accountants at the cost cap level, too. So there are new nuances to Formula One, which is changing it. I mean, Williams complaining that they're 20 years behind, and now with the cost cap, they can't catch up. So there's all sorts of changes in Formula One that change the face and the way Formula One goes racing. And I think Liberty are still working their way to making the best product they can. And so let's not judge just yet. It's just starting.
Yeah. Well, I thought this might spark a little conversation on YouTube, and it has. Andy P., one of the regulars and a host of his own podcast, he says, an F1 watch is just different. Not saying it's good or bad necessarily, but it's different. I watch F1 differently than I watch IndyCar, WEC, or IMSA. Only F1 gets that kind of commitment from me. And yeah. Joe Voisterbay steps
perfect, perfect example. Absolutely, yeah. Perfect example. He's a pure blue American race fan, and he has found the love, just as you have, in Formula One. I was working for ESPN back in the 90s on Formula One, and nobody gave us a look in. We were thrown on ESPN2, and back then, if you had ESPN2, you know, you had an extra mortgage. So, you know, it just wasn't there. And our viewing figures were, you know, 100,000 compared to now over 1 million. So, you know, I've been working at this exact job of trying to encourage Americans to follow Formula One most of my career. And I agree with Andy P. You know, you've just got to sell the nuance. It's different. I mean, I'll give you another example. If you're into yachting or you're into rowing, for example, or swimming, these are nuanced sports that are dynamic if you know the sport.
Yeah.
But you've got to know the sport. And those are three great sports that are Olympic sports. But unless you know tobogganing, for example, or luge, you know, they're not the everyday follower. So, and Formula One, I would put in that category. It's up there. It's rarefied air. And it takes a certain person of interest and, you know, a combination. And look at the tech companies now. That's why I'm so pleased that the tech companies, because they are the perfect viewers for Formula One and now the perfect backers for Formula One.
Yeah, and their people, the techies, are the perfect audience for Formula One. And
you mean the guys that like the spreadsheets, John?
Yeah, what are you saying? Yes, yes, exactly. Joe at Oyster Bay says, nothing else gets me up at 4 a.m. Yeah, good point. And by the way, Joe, if you look at the numbers, Australia was, you know, a half to a third of the other races. Of course it is. It's, you know, it's the middle of the night. So it's not surprising. Ray says something that I alluded to a minute ago. He says, I'm interested to see how many people tune into the midnight Vegas race because so Ray must be in, it'll be midnight our time here in Central Time, but California, think about that. The world, the United States most populous state will be, it'll be prime time for them. It'll be 10 p.m. Primetime Vegas time. 10 p.m. is when Vegas is just getting going. Now, 1 a.m. start.
Breakfast in Vegas at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 a.m. start East Coast. I think you're going to lose some audience there. I think Miami set the bar pretty high last year at 2.6 million. I don't know what Vegas will be. Venture a really accurate guess, of course, but I would imagine it'll be, you know, 2 million plus. And maybe, who knows, maybe be bigger than Miami just because it's going to be a crazy spectacle. Who is not looking forward to watching the Formula One cars go down the Vegas Strip? I mean, that's going to be, I mean, we've all been talking about it for a long time now, but that's going to be something special for sure.
Hey, growing up in England, I'll give you a parallel. The only sports that came out of Vegas when I was a kid were boxing. And my dad was a big boxing fan. And that was the one thing that we would stay up for in England was a boxing match at 2 a.m. from Vegas because it was that big, that much of a thrill. It's Las Vegas. could have been any fighter, heavyweight, middleweight, some of the Hearns fights, some of the Sugar Ray Leonard fights. We always got up. And of course, back then, George Foreman, Muhammad Ali, when to Vegas, that was gold. And I think Formula One will have that same attraction.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing that sparked the article said that from the dirty secret that Formula One's never had good racing. I just bristled, and I wish I'd have been in person to have that argument, but that's all right. Hey, I want to talk Daniel Ricciardo, Jonathan, because while I was doing the final show prep for tonight, I turned on the show that Daniel Ricciardo did with Will Arnett. And
why would you do that?
The other day, Casey and I turned it on here in the studio, and it started off really slow and awkward, but it got better. I'm not saying that it was great, but it got better. And what I really liked about it was what you'd expect about Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, it reminded me of one of your and my favorite football commentators, Jonathan, is Tony Romo. Love him [S2] Yep. [S1] Or hate him. When he first came off the field and went into the booth, it was magic watching him predict those plays, right? It was really cool. And Ricciardo did some of the same stuff, talking about, the pit entrance into Canada, talking about, oh, that's a tricky pit entrance. Or team radio came on and goes, let me translate that for you. What that means is, so he did a bunch of that. And it wasn't great yet. But you know what? Neither was the Manning cast at the beginning. It was awkward and goofy, and
what the secret sauce there, the magic dust of a show like that, is that whatever Ricciardo says is irrefutable.
Yes.
He is one of 20 Brilliant. Guys, stroke 100 guys that are around today willing to do a race show that will have sat in one of those cars and can say, that was a bad mistake. You yeah. shouldn't have done that. Or no, what happens there is the brakes can get a little hot. And so maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You can't argue with that, because even Andy P, me, you, we've never been in a racing car at that speed, of that caliber. And the point is, if he says, that's my opinion, you've got to take it on board.
You are brilliant, because that is spot on. That's what makes the Romo deal so great. And that's exactly that's the magic they were looking for. And I may even go back and watch it again, because I was actually not paying super close and turning it up and down a little bit. But I heard enough of that to bring me back. So if you recorded it and didn't watch it, go back and give it a listen. And, I have to say, I don't think I would watch a race that way. But as a replay of watching the race, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and speaking of Daniel Ricciardo, we just got about a minute to discuss this, Jonathan. But the rumors are now that he may replace De Vries. And, of course, the one rumor that we heard on a group chat about him replacing Logan Sargeant, I don't think that's going to happen. But what do you think about him sticking in the Red Bull family and replacing De Vries?
I do think that De Vries' job is on the line. Whether Ricciardo is the right choice for a team on the up and up, and I say, not that Daniel will be a bad choice, but do you look to the future rather than the guy of the moment? I think he would certainly do well there. But it would be tough for Daniel, because he's literally stepping down another step from where he was before. So I don't know if it would work for his career. But certainly he's got to be in the picture if they are going to replace De Vries.
Yeah.
But Logan Sargeant at Williams, no.
Yeah, I agree. That's too early in Sargeant's career. He's shown enough flashes that I just don't think that, I just don't think you'd do that. And Ricciardo, would he struggle in a car like that right now? So I just don't know. Well, we are out of time, Jonathan. This show has flown by, and I'm really bummed we didn't get to talk in two wheels at all. I know you probably didn't get to watch much, but with all this crazy stuff that's going on, I want to talk MotoGP soon.
Yeah, and I also want to talk about MotoGP crossing over with Formula One, because that is something that is now becoming very apparent with this
Ducati. Right. Well, we'll do that on the next Sunday night show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're out of time. Talk to you next week.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. At the beginning of the show, I said I have a spreadsheet that I've made, and you guys know how I love to make a good spreadsheet. And what sparked it was I saw an article on the AP Newswire, and it said ESPN's hopes for more parody and drama in F1 season appear to be evaporating. And I was like, what? Let me read this. And so I started reading it, and it's the same story we've heard a lot of, is that how can Formula One continue this insane growth, right? We had like 35% growth from 21 to 22 and like 25% the year before. I mean, it's just insane. So I was reading this article, and one of the comments was, in fact, there's actually two articles. The one that sparked this conversation was F1's predictable races risk turning off new American fan base. You know, all from Drive to Survive. And about the fifth paragraph in, it says, but here's F1's dirty little secret. The racing has never been great, and 2021 was an anomaly of a season. Let me read that again. The racing has never been great. I was like, hang on a minute. Did you watch the Spanish Grand Prix? Did you watch the Canadian Grand Prix? I mean, I thought that was an absurd thing to say. And the author is mostly NASCAR and IndyCar, but I really like her work. And in fact, I, I've and you know, it really caught me off guard that she would say this. And I was like, my first thought was, do you watch F1? Now, if your criteria is who's going to win the race every weekend, yes, IndyCar blows F1 out of the water, but we as F1 fans know that's not going to happen in our sport, right? It's not going to be that way because of the way the sport's laid out. But what's your take on that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I don't know the reporter you're talking about, but I agree that when you watch NASCAR and IndyCar, you get a lot more crashes, a lot more overtakes. I'll give you that. But Formula One has never been about that. And the purists who love racing and watching Formula One may as well be space fans or NASA fans, because it really is launching a rocket against 20 other rockets and seeing how the development and how the technology beats the other technology. And that can at times be dominated by one particular car, and that's often the way in Formula One, or two in the same team is often the case. But that is the space race, the technology race that is Formula One. So, you know, it's not for everybody. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But for the purists who love technology and love to see people, take the most and get the most out of a tiny machine and pack more power than is even thinkable into a tiny space and race it. Incredible racing.
Well, and let's just, think back. I was talking about the Spanish Grand Prix and we knew Max was going to win, right? But there was so much good racing, and I guess you do have to get into the sport and learn the nuance of all this to really enjoy it. But there was still plenty of racing that I think, even your new Drive to Survive fan could enjoy. And I just thought it was honestly, I thought it was an absurd comment because.
And by the way, the other side of that, forget that comment. The other side is, that Formula One's dirty little secret or the growth of Drive to Survive can't keep going. No, it can't. Of course it can't. I mean, we're the new kids in town in terms of interest, and Drive to Survive has driven that. And so it's shows like ours and many more. As you see, podcasts are popping up all over the country. And that's good. But the fan base now is reignited from the original fans that used to go to the Glen and so on, and a whole bunch of new fans. And that's really what's important, yeah, is that fan base won't go away. And there will be seasons where Max Verstappen will not dominate. And I'm looking forward, for example, to 2026, when Andretti could be on the grid, when Audi will be on the grid, when Ford will be on the grid, and Cadillac potentially. In terms of name, and also a bunch of new drivers from all over the world, including many, many Americans as well. So I think the next 4 years exponentially could grow Formula One, and with events like Vegas and Miami, a huge success as we saw, roll on. I'm afraid I don't agree at all.
All right. Well, what that sparked me to think was, all right, well, let's just think about. I watch the ratings on ESPN. I watch them every Tuesday when they come out. And I thought, and just seat of the pants, I was like, it's about the same as last year. But ladies and gentlemen, nice spreadsheet. If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to introduce the spreadsheet now.
No, don't do it.
Okay. I've got 2023 ratings, or viewers, actually, not the rating points, and 2022 viewers up side by side. And you might notice right off the bat, I've highlighted whichever year was higher in green, and it literally alternates. Bahrain last year was bigger. Saudi Arabia this year was bigger. Last year, Australia was bigger. This year, Azerbaijan was bigger, and it goes back and forth like that 100%. But the bottom line is that it is the total viewers so far this year, 10,897,000, as opposed to last year, 10,970,000. So it's virtually identical. It's less than 1% difference last year over this year. And we have not had Vegas. So I want you to think about that. Now, I know Vegas is kind of a late night race, but, last year, Miami was 2.6 million viewers, right? This year, it dropped to basically 2 million, 1.96. So that was a big drop. And in fact, if you kind of throw that out, then we'd probably be ahead of last year, just that spike because it's a first year race. But we've still got Vegas this year. So I would expect by the end of the year, we'll have a bigger year than last year again. And you made a really fantastic point, Jonathan. There's so much more to come. There's, you know, Ford and Cadillac and Audi and, you know, all this American interest. And, you know, and we're also building that American driver pipeline, like kids like Ryan Sheehan. But as that grows, too, there's going to be more and more interest. I just think that it's, you know, it is going to be tough. If Max Verstappen wins every single race this year, though, that won't help the situation.
No, it won't. But, you know, there have been other seasons in the past that have been like that. And, you know, one of the other things that we're talking about, this cost cap that has come in and how to deal with it. We saw Red Bull get fined at the end of last season. And there's a kind of a new game in town, which is, you know, beating the accountants at the cost cap level, too. So there are new nuances to Formula One, which is changing it. I mean, Williams complaining that they're 20 years behind, and now with the cost cap, they can't catch up. So there's all sorts of changes in Formula One that change the face and the way Formula One goes racing. And I think Liberty are still working their way to making the best product they can. And so let's not judge just yet. It's just starting.
Yeah. Well, I thought this might spark a little conversation on YouTube, and it has. Andy P., one of the regulars and a host of his own podcast, he says, an F1 watch is just different. Not saying it's good or bad necessarily, but it's different. I watch F1 differently than I watch IndyCar, WEC, or IMSA. Only F1 gets that kind of commitment from me. And yeah. Joe, voice your bass.
Perfect example. Absolutely, yeah. Perfect example. He's a pure blue American race fan, and he has found the love, just as you have, in Formula One. I was working for ESPN back in the 90s on Formula One, and nobody gave us a look in. We were thrown on ESPN2, and back then, if you had ESPN2, you know, you had an extra mortgage. So, you know, it just wasn't there. And our viewing figures were, you know, 100,000 compared to now over a million. So, you know, I've been working at this exact job of trying to encourage Americans to follow Formula One most of my career. And I agree with Andy P. You know, you've just got to sell the nuance. It's different. I mean, I'll give you another example. If you're into yachting or you're into rowing, for example, or swimming, these are nuanced sports that are dynamic if you know the sport.
Yeah.
But you've got to know the sport. And those are three great sports that are Olympic sports. But unless you know tobogganing, for example, or luge, you know, they're not the everyday follower. So, and Formula One, I would put in that category. It's up there. It's rarefied air. And it takes a certain person of interest and, you know, a combination. And look at the tech companies now. That's why I'm so pleased that the tech companies, because they are the perfect viewers for Formula One and now the perfect backers for Formula One.
Yeah, and their people, the techies, are the perfect audience for Formula One. And
you mean the guys that like the spreadsheets, John?
Yeah, what are you saying? Yes, yes, exactly. Joe at Oyster Bay says, nothing else gets me up at 4 a.m. Yeah, good point. And by the way, Joe, if you look at the numbers, Australia was, you know, a half to a third of the other races. Of course it is. It's, you know, it's the middle of the night. So it's not surprising. Ray says something that I alluded to a minute ago. He says, I'm interested to see how many people tune into the midnight Vegas race because so Ray must be in, it'll be midnight our time here in Central Time, but California, think about that. The world, the United States' most populous state will be, it'll be prime time for them. It'll be 10 PM. Primetime Vegas time. 10 p.m. is when Vegas is just getting going. Now, 1 a.m. start.
Breakfast in Vegas at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 a.m. start East Coast. I think you're going to lose some audience there. I think Miami set the bar pretty high last year at 2.6 million. I don't know what Vegas will be. I couldn't even venture a really accurate guess, of course, but I would imagine it'll be, you know, 2 million plus. And maybe, who knows, maybe be bigger than Miami just because it's going to be a crazy spectacle. Who is not looking forward to watching the Formula One cars go down the Vegas Strip. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, we've all been talking about it for a long time now, but that's going to be something special for sure.
Hey, growing up in England, I'll give you a parallel. The only sports that came out of Vegas when I was a kid were boxing. And my dad was a big boxing fan. And that was the one thing that we would stay up for in England was a boxing match at 2 a.m. from Vegas, because it was that big, that much of a thrill. It's Las Vegas. It could have been any fighter, heavyweight, middleweight. Some of the Hearns fights, some of the Sugar Ray Leonard fights. We always got up. And of course, back then, George Foreman, Muhammad Ali, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When Vegas, that was gold. And I think Formula One will have that same attraction.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing that sparked the article said that from the dirty secret that Formula One's never had good racing, I just bristled. And I wish I'd have been in person to have that argument, but that's all right. Hey, I want to talk Daniel Ricciardo, Jonathan, because while I was doing the final show prep for tonight, I turned on the show that Daniel Ricciardo did with Will Arnett. And
why would you do that?
And you know what? The other day, Casey and I turned it on here in the studio, and it started off really slow and awkward, but it got better. I'm not saying that it was great, but it got better. And what I really liked about it was what you'd expect about Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, it reminded me of one of your and my favorite football commentators, Jonathan, is Tony Romo. Love him or hate him. When he first came off the field and went into the booth, it was magic watching him predict those plays, right? It was really cool. And Ricciardo did some of the same stuff, talking about, you know, the pit entrance into Canada, talking about, oh, that's a tricky pit entrance. Or team radio came on and goes, let me translate that for you. What that means is, you know, so he did a bunch of that. And it wasn't great yet, but you know what? Neither was the Manning cast at the beginning. It was awkward and goofy, and you know
what the secret sauce there, the magic dust of a show like that, is that whatever Ricciardo says is irrefutable.
Yes.
He is one of 20 Brilliant. Guys, stroke 100 guys that are around today willing to do a race show that will have sat in one of those cars and can say, that was a bad mistake. You shouldn't have done that. Or no, what happens there is the brakes can get a little hot. And so maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You can't argue with that, because even Andy P, me, you, we've never been in a racing car at that speed, of that caliber. And the point is, if he says, that's my opinion, you've got to take it on board.
You are brilliant, because that is spot on. That's what makes the Romo deal so great. And that's exactly that's the magic they were looking for. And I may even go back and watch it again, because I was actually not paying super close and turning it up and down a little bit. But I heard enough of that to bring me back. So if you recorded it and didn't watch it, go back and give it a listen. And, I have to say, I don't think I would watch a race that way. But as a replay of watching the race, absolutely. Absolutely. So and speaking of Daniel Ricciardo, we just got about a minute to discuss this, Jonathan. But the rumors are now that he may replace De Vries. And, of course, the one rumor that we heard on a group chat about him replacing Logan Sargeant, I don't think that's going to happen. But what do you think about him sticking in the Red Bull family and replacing De Vries?
I do think that De Vries' job is on the line. Whether Ricciardo is the right choice for a team on the up and up, and I say, not that Daniel will be a bad choice, but do you look to the future rather than the guy of the moment? I think he would certainly do well there. But it would be tough for Daniel, because he's literally stepping down another step from where he was before. So I don't know if it would work for his career. But certainly he's got to be in the picture if they are going to replace De Vries.
Yeah.
But Logan Sargeant at Williams, no.
Yeah, I agree. That's too early in Sargeant's career. He's shown enough flashes that I just don't think you'd do that. And Ricciardo, would he struggle in a car like that right now? So I just don't know. Well, we are out of time, Jonathan. This show has flown by, and I'm really bummed we didn't get to talk in two wheels at all. I know you probably didn't get to watch much, But with all this crazy stuff that's going on, I want to talk MotoGP soon.
Yeah, and I also want to talk about MotoGP crossing over with Formula One, because that is something that is now becoming very apparent with this Ducati.
Right. Well, we'll do that on the next Sunday night show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're out of time. Talk to you next week.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.